This is The City View, the podcast from City AM, in partnership with ETX Capital, award-winning trading platform with personalized and tailor-made services. Hello again and welcome to this episode of The City View, the podcast from City AM. I'm Christian May. In a moment, I will introduce a very special guest. I'll keep you waiting just a moment or two longer, but before that, it's The City View headlines. And London is set to gain yet another major film studio after plans for a new production complex in Dagenham were approved by Mayor Sadiq Khan last week. The East London Movie Hub will boast six sound stages, production offices and set construction workshops built on former industrial land. The complex, which was approved by Barking and Dagenham Council last month, is expected to create well over 1,000 jobs and contribute £35 million a year to the local economy. The Mayor of London said our culture and creative industries have been significantly impacted by COVID-19, but our successful film and TV industries could play a key role in our economic recovery. The development marks the latest in a string of major studio projects in and around the capital as developers rush to meet surging demand for new films and TV shows to fuel the escalating streaming wars. In April, developers were given the green light to build a £250 million complex in Kent, providing studio space for Netflix and Amazon. Meanwhile, plans have been outlined for the UK's largest purpose-built studio complex near Reading, while Sky is set to open a new 32-acre production hub in Elstree. And Tesco will introduce free delivery in its latest bid to head off Amazon's attempt to muscle in on the British grocery market. Tesco boss Dave Lewis told the Sunday Telegraph that the supermarket will add free delivery to its Clubcard Plus loyalty scheme. It comes after the US tech giant announced last month it would offer free delivery to its £15 million members in the UK as it expands its fresh food network. It allows customers to buy dairy, baked foods, fresh meat, fruit and veg with no delivery fee if they subscribe to its £7.99 a month Prime service, which of course also offers fast retail delivery and access to the streaming service. Amazon's intervention was seen as a huge signal. It was capitalizing on increased demand for online groceries after lockdown restrictions triggered a change in consumer habits. Last November, Tesco introduced a new loyalty scheme, Clubcard Plus, which works in tandem with its old membership program through which customers can earn points. All supermarkets currently charge for delivery, as the fees are considered crucial for funding the online sales operation. Lewis warned that the supermarket has to make sure that we can manage capacity with the online demand before it introduces it. And finally, the lockdown has forced countless businesses to adapt and come to terms with radical change, and the famous French House pub in Soho is no exception. The Grade 2 listed Charm, which has counted Francis Bacon, Dylan Thomas and Lucian Freud among its regulars, has had to abandon its centuries-old tradition of only selling beer in half-pint glasses. For the first time ever, beer will now be offered in pints in a bid to minimise trips to the bar and make life easier for the sole bartender who used to share their space with four others but, thanks to social distancing rules, now has to work solo. Landlady Leslie Lewis said it was a shame, but that they had no choice. Regulars will be pleased to know that not all the pub's traditions are under threat. Mobile phones are still banned. Now, if you're listening to this on Monday the 17th of August, you may be interested to know that it is exactly 5 years to the day since I edited my first edition of City AM. Wet behind the ears on Sunday the 17th of August 2015, I can still remember the slight terror and the excitement I felt looking at that empty 32-page flat plan and thinking about what to fill it in with. That I had the chance to do so at all, and that 5 years on I'm still here, is thanks to Lawson Muncaster, who, along with co-founder Jens Torp, plucked me out of obscurity and dropped me in the editor's chair. I have so missed our newsroom in the past few months, and I've missed all the creative, editorial, and occasionally legal hoops we have to drag ourselves through to put out each edition of City AM. And after stopping our print presses on the 1st of April, we're now gearing up to return to print on Monday the 7th of September. So to discuss that, and probably a load of other things, I'm very pleased to welcome City AM co-founder and managing director, Lawson Muncaster. Lawson, welcome to the City View.
Good afternoon, and I'm delighted to be on such an important day for you, Christian. I can't believe it's 5 years. I think it's probably been the most confusing, time-wasting, sometimes time-elusive 5 years of a long, long time. Elections, times three, I think, referendums, Brexit, American politics. I'm actually surprised you're still here.
We're going to touch on some of those momentous events. But now, we normally, of course, do an excellent job of keeping management and editorial distinct, rarely mixing other perhaps than in the pub. But here we are. The sudden unavailability of a booked guest meant I had to call you. And actually, it's inspired because not only can we mark my 5-year anniversary, for which a huge party would be thrown were we not in a state of semi-lockdown, but we can also just reflect on the last 5 months and crucially look ahead to our return to print after a pause in production for the first time in the paper's 15-year history. Just tell us, Lawson, with as much candour as you can muster, how have these past few months been for you?
I think that on a personal level, I suppose it's been a sort of pausing of one's life. I think it's probably brought the family closer together. I think it's probably let Jens and I and management as a whole really look at our business as a whole, and look at the steps of what we need to do to take this successful media group forward. I mean, it was never a great few weeks in the beginning of March when it was so sudden. We went from a board meeting in Amsterdam talking about investment with our club and our digital products to actually taking the decision to stop printing 2 weeks later. I think it's pretty obvious that it wasn't necessarily very clever move. It was a necessity. I mean, if you have a free newspaper handed out to commuters, passed hand to hand in a market where there's no advertising, I think it would be very brave for to continue to print at that stage with the thought and the belief that we were going to come back bigger and stronger when the audience returned.
Well, I remember our frantic phone calls in mid to late March, just trying to adapt, as everyone had to what was going on around us. And of course, as well as reporting on the events were engulfing us too. But we made a decision to go dark, except, of course, for an online presence and indeed the launch of this podcast. But you told the company that nobody would lose their jobs and that we would be back. So on behalf of the editorial team, thank you and Jens for that. Now tell us, what's life going to be like for us once we're back? I understand that our infamous office kitchen has had a lick of paint, so already there's an upside.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of the collective of the nature of our business, you know, we are a free newspaper, we're in newspapers, we're developing products, we're independent, we're very focused on the bottom line in terms of making sure that we use the money the right ways for the right people to do the right jobs. And that's a big testament to Jens to keeping that cost down. So, the people that are employed are people that are in our family. So we're kind of in it together. And a lot of management can say that. But I genuinely, from the top of my head to the tips of my toes, that's the reason why we have had the success that we've had over the last 15 years. Yeah, a lick of paint has been done and a new kitchen is being installed. A deep clean is necessary. And actually, I actually fly... I'm on Sunday today, but if you're listening on Monday, I'll probably be in a plane coming down to the Big Smoke. And delighted to get into the office next week to, A, understand the COVID procedures and making sure that these implementations are right. I know as I speak, Jens is coming back from Denmark. So we're all slowly but surely getting back to make sure that the ship's ready to sail come the 7th of September. But let's not forget that, you know, the only silver lining, I suppose, in a very dark cloud has been, A, the ability to attract a much larger audience within the London and UK area in terms of our online product. And I would just like to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to the contributors outside the company, to the people that have so enthusiastically got involved with our podcast, and with both our campaigns, I'm sure we'll come and talk to about it later on. All these people, but more importantly, the seven souls that have managed the editorial product and producing the stories, the in-depth questions that have maintained a really strong presence to our readership. So I'm absolutely thankful to them, and I look forward to helping them doing their jobs better and more efficiently with more staff coming on board in the next few weeks.
Well, like the rest of us, you have been monitoring closely the working from home debate. And we've talked often about the way in which work will change, the way in which offices will change. And of course, last week we launched our Back to Work campaign, which I suppose more accurately would be a Back to the Office campaign. And that campaign is totally mindful of the fact that it's going to be different, that people will be in offices less frequently than they were before all of this. But we saw a real problem, didn't we, with this sort of overnight evacuation of the city, of Canary Wharf, of other parts of London. So my question is, what are you expecting September and October to be like in the city?
I think a very good question, and this is a huge debate. I mean, I think anybody that's worked with me or in the past 30 years will know that I'm not an office man, and I don't actually understand what office hours are. I've never led my way that way. And I hopefully think that in City M, we have that same philosophy. I mean, there's very rarely that we have 49 members of staff in the office at the same time. I mean, editorially, you'll find yourself in shift patterns 24 hours a day. Sales has the same sort of thing, sort of distribution. So I think that we are kind of a bit shocked about how binary the debates become in the city, or indeed any office space throughout the world, in that what has definitely happened in the last few months is you do not have to be in the office just because you have to be in the office. There is no necessity to be there. That archaic sort of expectation to all staff has evaporated in overnight almost. I think that what my plans are, what I believe that will happen is that people will be given more responsibility to do their job properly. But I genuinely believe this is not the death of the office. It's just more about how we manage our time through the office and being in the office.
Well, you have three offices in the city, Lawson. You've got our office on Fenchurch Street. You've got the Wine Lodge beneath, and you've got the Grapes in Leadenhall Market.
Very true. And I use them wisely. I'm glad to say that the Grapes is up and running. I think the Wine Lodge is still to come in that action. But hopefully, let's go back to that sort of back to school phenomena. There's what we heard in July or early parts of July was that the city wasn't going to return till 2021. I think that that was a knee-jerk reaction, and I think what our campaign is about, it's not about telling businesses to get back to work because they've got a corporate responsibility to the community they work within. I think what we are saying is that it not only is it important to get people back to work safely, obviously, we're talking about that under the whole conversation that we have, but businesses can't be as productive if we don't have a central point for staff to meet. I mean, we've all been working from home now for 5 months globally, and UK GDP is down 20%. That's obviously not the answer, okay? And that's the extreme. I think what we will see is people understanding what is right for them individually. And I think you'll find that businesses will take a far more individual look at what happens and how people can communicate, how can they commute, how do they feel themselves in this whole crisis? And I think that's a good thing. And you'll see more individual relationships between employees and employers, which I can only welcome. The stark reality is how we get back to work will take time. And I think 30% of businesses probably will be back to work in terms of staffing at some level within the first week of September, rising to 50% in October. But I genuinely think the idea of all businesses having access to buildings, or people in businesses having access to building at 100%, I probably think is probably the new year.
Well, I think City AM works well because it is just the right size. There's only about 50 of us there across the whole operation. And you know, it is a very conversational environment. You know, people have a lot of autonomy, and you know, we trust people to know where they have to be and what they're doing. And of course, some roles are more linked to being in the office than others. Of course, they are, but you know, it's always been a very almost family environment. I mean, I've taken, you know, there was a period when my first son was very young where I had him in the office quite a lot when my wife was working, around the UK at the time. And we've got people who for various reasons want to be at home a bit more, or indeed for various reasons want to come into the office a bit more. And I've seen on many occasions how being a small company, admittedly one with a big reach, has allowed us to be nimble, to be agile in the face of industry changes or market changes. And that must have helped you and Jens in the last few months.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you go down to the reality of between Christmas and New Year, we don't have an audience within the business community of London to hand a newspaper out, and business news per se, as you'd know, is pretty light. And therefore, we've been very used to every year saying to our readers, right, Happy Christmas on the 20th of December. We'll see you back on the 3rd, the 4th of January. So for a business, we have had the ability to do that. We've had 15 trial runs at it. It just so happens it wasn't for 15 days. It's been more like 60. So that part of the business has been, we were able to cope pretty pretty well. And also the fact that you give these people the responsibility. We don't have safe checks of three or four different persons seeing, you know, a bit of copy going from the original to the newspaper. The responsibility lies with the journalist. So we didn't have that sort of infrastructure to consider. I mean, what we do have, and I think this is also very important, is a general understand that each person is trying their best and each person is trying to help each other. So there was a genuine camaraderie out with that office when we all ended up in our homes. And I know that your side of the business, the commercial side of the business, you know, be they furloughed or not, they're having Zoom meetings and Zoom parties. I think they probably got a little bit lesser as time went on. But the staff I know have been talking to each other more socially and just keeping a camaraderie of wanting the business to come through this. And I'm delighted by the response we've had from the staff about the letter we sent out on Friday about coming back on the 7th of September.
I think that's a really important point because, you know, again, it goes back to that sort of friends and family-based relationships that we all have in the office, which I think everybody benefits from. And you know, I can look at my own editorial team. Those that accepted furlough did their bit to save the company. Those that we kept on have worked hard through extraordinary conditions. And I know that same dynamic applies in the commercial team. So we wouldn't have been able to do the last 5 months, to survive the last 5 months, and certainly wouldn't be able to come out of it knowing that we're coming back and we're coming back, you know, without having lost a single person from the operation. If it weren't for the people who I know just have a really good relationship with the organization. And it goes back to that culture that's been instilled that, you know, people don't have six layers of management above them. And you know, I think everybody knows the role they play. And it's probably fair to say that over the last 5 months, you have got a sharpened sense of the role that everybody plays.
Oh, I mean, without a doubt, I think I'm actually getting involved in stuff I shouldn't be getting involved in now. I mean, I think that what also is a great credit is, or not credit, but what it brought to light was the two major issues during the pandemic months is that, first and foremost, the SME campaign we created, and it was simply about a European rule that banks were hiding behind because of their need not to lend money at a very, you know, advantageous rate to the lender. And we fought that business with difficult European law to a point where we involved everyone concerned, be that the BBB, the Treasury, Number 10, the banks themselves. And at the end of it, we actually helped a lot of SMEs getting the money they needed to survive and actually give it a go, because actually the hard work starts on the 7th of September. If you survive to this point, now the hard work really works. It has to come to a point where ours day is the 7th of September, others will, the furlough will stop at the end of October, I think. But that is when the real hard work starts. So it needs people understanding that. And there's going to be some difficult decisions made. There's going to be some opportunities, obviously. But I think our job is to make sure that we, City M, are ready for that fight.
It's not always the case that you can see a sort of direct impact of your journalism, but you just mentioned the Save Our SMEs campaign, which we launched in maybe the end of April, as you say, to highlight a real structural issue with the business interruption loan scheme, the European law that was holding that money back from all sorts of different companies, technically viable companies, but nevertheless ones that fell foul of a state aid rule. And I can look back in my inbox and see emails coming in from small businesses across the UK in May. Businesses who, by the way, City AM wouldn't really shine a light on in normal conditions. Travel operators in Wales and niche manufacturers in the Midlands, not really our core constituency, but they came to us and said, you've got to do something. You've got to help us. Look at this issue. Look at this letter from my bank. Look at this. And we did. And we launched that campaign and we pulled so many people together. And I've got emails now from those same companies saying, we've done it. We've got the loan. We're going to be okay. And some of the emails I received were just absolutely heartbreaking. People saying, it's going to disappear. My business is going to disappear. You know, I employ 12 people. They're all going to go. And they've been saved. And to have played a small part in helping them and helping other businesses has been, you know, a real upside in what has been a, you know, very challenging time. Now, look, just before I let you go, let's go back to that dinner we had together in May 2015 when you asked me to be the editor. And we don't have to dwell on that decision. I just picked that date because in many ways, it just seems like a lifetime ago. It was just days after the 2015 general election. Since when we've had two further elections, of course, the Brexit referendum, and then without a doubt, the biggest story of them all, the pandemic. Do you ever take time to stop, just look back and reflect on those events? Or do you not have the time to do so? Because it's also been 5 years, of course, during which our world, your industry, has undergone a lot of its own changes.
I think there's always time to reflect. And I think I'll probably wait till I'm a little bit older. But I think what you can do is you can take your hat off, as my partner Jens would say, when you've done something well. And you can also give yourself a bollocking at the end of the day if you've done something wrong. And I think probably collectively over the last 5 years and through, you know, your tenure, et cetera, I think we've done more good than harm. Probably the harm we have done is to ourselves, which we learned from. I think it's been a turbulent time. The industry that we work in from an advertising perspective is changing dramatically. It's very much a people-focused industry that's automating. And there's a lot of different choices out there for those individuals concerned. And I hope that the people that sit in the offices of choosing who goes and who doesn't, I hope they realise that it's still a people's business. We are talking about relationships with the buying and selling communication. Yes, you can automate it to a point, but I think you still need people involved in that space. As with the editorial side of things, I mean, content is king. I mean, it was, I think, pretty poignant to say that when the gentleman that said the phrase passed a few weeks ago or a few days ago, the content still remains king. And when I say content, I mean honest, proper, fair content that represents people to the positive side, not the negative side. And I hope that CityM does do that, and I hope we continue to do that in the future.
Well, it was just a few weeks after I joined you that the paper celebrated its 10th anniversary, and a few days after we returned to print in early September will be our 15th anniversary. Are we going to mark a 20th anniversary, a 25th anniversary?
Oh, I'm sure the media group CityM will be around in 5 and 10 years' time. I think the most important point that any wise old fox of the city would say to you, survival is the key to all. And I think we've done pretty well today in surviving financial crises, pandemics, elections, referendums. I think it's all about the quality of staff you have, the focus you all have, the camaraderie you have. I'm even just touching on our back to work campaign. You know, it was just humbling to find, you know, we had Shobi from Canary Wharf, Paul from London First, Richard, London Chamber of Commerce, you know, Sadiq Khan, William Russell, Lord Mayor, all very much eager to help CityM communicate this message to the corporates and the people that dominate the buildings of the business communities of London, to say it's not just helping their local communities in by bringing their staff back, it's also helping their staff, because we don't all have the luxury of sitting in nice houses on Zooms, etc. You know, sometimes the offices are a very important place for younger people. And just before I go, I want to just do quote or put a little name check to a gentleman called James Scott, who wrote a brilliant piece in LinkedIn recently, Why We Need the Office. And I suggest anyone listening to go and have a look at that. It's James Scott. And it really gives you a really balanced view of how important office life is to young people.
Well, Lawson, within the last few minutes, my son Chaplin has crawled up onto my lap. Chaplin, do you want to say hello?
No.
No. But I hope that you and Chaplin will see each other again soon. But it's an opportune moment. He's brought a rubber duck. It's an opportune moment for me to say thank you very much and goodbye. And I will see you this week for lunch, and I'm looking forward to it.
Goodbye, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Can't wait.
I'm going to leave it there. Thanks for listening to The City View. My thanks to Lawson Muncaster.
Bye.
It's goodbye for me, and it's goodbye from my son Chaplin.
You've been listening to The City View, the podcast from CityAM in partnership with ETX Capital. Don't forget, you can stay on top of all the latest news at cityam.com.